I'm very blessed to have been in another week of our teen camp. As most of you know, once a year we get together with the Pennsylvania Bible Teaching Fellowship and do a teen camp out in Ligonier, Pennsylvania, which is about half our teens, about half their teens, and about half other people's teens. And it was about 130 teens, I guess, and 20 to 25 of those were teens from other areas, and we were blessed they had some spice to the mix. It was great to have them. And as always, we just have a wonderful time in God's Word. If you're not familiar with our teen camp, we don't do a lot of activities, do we? No, pretty much we eat, sleep, and get into God's Word, and that's about it. And then when we're not getting them into God's Word, they're getting each other into God's Word. So it's a pretty full day without horseback riding and all that other stuff. That's what we do at our teen camp, and so there are always some great things to share. And although I get the blessing of walking around during the week and talking to the different teens, sometimes you never quite know what God's worked in their hearts, and so it's sort of it's become a semi-tradition anyway to take this Sunday after teen camp and give them the blessing of sharing, give us the blessing of hearing what God has done for them, what they've learned. Some of them have learned from me too well, so they'll talk for an hour if we let them. That's why I had to talk to them beforehand and say, let's not go for an hour like I would. And then also, when the teens are done, any of you staff who would like to share, well, you hop up on the line too, okay? Love to hear from any of you. That's about all as far as the preliminaries go. Do we have somebody to handle the mic here, right? Okay. Well, then how about my teens who are sharing? Just line up right along the side here. And when you share, you come up to the mic and then you go back down that way, okay? So, I know there's more than two of you. I just talked to you a few minutes ago. Now, I know what happens every year is some of you see your brothers and sisters sharing, then you realize, oh man, I want to share too. If that's the case, that's fine. Just come talk to me first. I'll be in the vicinity, okay? So we're going to try and let this thing run itself. And if you just give your name and your age, no, not yet. Well, I'll bring you up. But I'm waiting for the teams to look over me so I know they're listening. If you give your name and your age, share what you want to share, and then walk down this way, and the next team can take your place, okay? And look who's first. Come on up, Bridget. God bless everybody.
Hi, I'm Bridget Burke, and I'm 17. And this year, I was able to run a fellowship at teen camp, and I've run them before, and I think it was a really big blessing, especially this year, because we really took care of each other, and we loved one another, and we looked out for each other, and if there was anything that we needed, we provided it within ourselves, and I think it helped, just especially, I mean, those of us that were in the fellowship to be able to see that love, and when they go back home, to show their fellowship how you can love one another, and you can take care of each other like we're supposed to. And I think another thing that people really learned was that it's really easy to be divided on the word. And we learned that the body of Christ, because God created it, is perfect. And the only way that it can be corrupted is in your mind. The only way that the devil can get through to it is in the individuals that are in the body of Christ through their minds. And how you have to guard your mind so that we can stick together like we're supposed to, so that we can glorify God like we're supposed to. And how easy it is to be divided on things that aren't of any importance at all, but it's easy to think that they are, you know? And that's just what I wanted to share, so.
Hi, I'm Rosie Carter, and I am 22 years old, and... No, I'm just joking. I'm Rosie Carter. I'm 15 years old, and this is my third year at teen camp. You know, it's really blessed me. What Bridget just shared, the devil will try to get you. Like, it's a guarantee that the devil will try to steal the word out of your heart as soon as you heard it. But you know what? The cool thing is in 1 John 4:4, is you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That was one of our retemeries. But, I mean, realize that just because the devil's trying to take the word out of your heart, you have God backing you up. And you can overcome them and overcome him. one of the things we learned was there's a devil, which is like direct attack, it's like from the devil, and then there's Satan, who indirectly attacks, like the things of this world and stuff. But when you're out there in school, and people are like, oh my God, you read the Bible? And you don't have to be ashamed of that. You don't have to give in to that temptation. You have God backing you up. And there is nothing. He cannot forsake you. He is there with you. Constantly. And you just have to realize that. And walk out that boldly. And just say, yeah, I do read the Bible. Do you want to hear about it? Do you want to hear about Jesus Christ? And if they say no, fine. But God's backing you up. No matter what. And He'll always... always be there for you. That's all I had to share.
Hi, my name is Lindsay Holiday. I'm 15, and this is my fourth year at teen camp. And one thing that really blessed me was, because we were learning about how to like defend ourselves against the adversary, was Tom used one example with a family of yaks, or like the body of Christ, because if there's danger near, the yaks form a tight circle with their horns pointing outward, protecting the mothers and the babies. And it's like the adversary tries to weaken like the outer parts of the body, and like as if one person starts to fall, it affects the other people in the body of Christ. And if we can stand strong against the adversary, it just helps the other people in the body of Christ to run their ministries and to continue to bless the body. And that really blessed me because it just opened my eyes. Thanks.
Hi, my name's Aaron Howard, and I'm 20 years old, and that was the first blessing of the week, you know, not being a teen and being able to go to teen camp. That really blessed my life. And second blessing was being around like-minded believers all week, having people there that love you, speak the word to you, pray for you, speak in tongues for you. If you need something, they're always right on top of it. Everybody was really walking in love, and that was the second blessing. And I just go on and on. I'm not going to spend the next 3 years telling you exactly how many blessings there were at teen camp. You know, all I can really say is if the people who didn't go to teen camp, you adults, if you really wanted to know what it was right, what it was like that, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It talks about the love of God. It's all that can really explain it. Thank you.
I'm Audrey Wilson, and I'm 20, and I kind of don't know really what to say because there's so much that I learned, but one thing that really blessed me was one of the, like, second-to-last teachings that we heard was about King Saul and Samuel, and I learned some different things about both of them. And some background. Like, I always thought, well, you know, I really want to live for God my whole life, but what if I don't? And anybody can walk away from God if they let the world get in their hearts and quit putting on God's word. But the cool thing is, you have a choice not to do that. And we read about King Saul. And how God, when He picked a king for Israel, it was the best king ever. It was the best king they could possibly have. He was tall and, you know, better than everybody. And he was humble. It said that he was little in his own sight. And as we kept going on, it's not like, I mean, you guys probably all know about Saul, that at the end he eventually was like possessed and killed himself and everything. But at the beginning, if you read from the beginning, he was a really good guy. He respected God, and he was humble. And then it's not like all of a sudden the next day he woke up like, oh, I think I'll get possessed today. You know, it was gradual. It was very gradual. And he had a weakness because he really, really loved people, which isn't a bad thing, but he put that above God. And as we kept reading the records, it showed how... like one instance was that they had great victory in their kingdom, and there are these people that were very devilish people that according to the word should have been put to death. And so the people in the kingdom were like, you know, where are these men? Let's put them to death. And they were asking Samuel, who was the man of God. But then it says Saul stepped in before he even had a chance to answer and said, oh, no, we're not going to kill them. Which I always read that and thought, oh, that's nice of him. But I realized that that was evil. That was wrong, because he put his great love for people above obeying God. And I learned that if we have anything in our lives that we put at a par with God, then the devil will keep challenging us with that and making us choose between God and whatever that thing is, until finally we just turn away from him. And I don't know, that really hit me. That really, really hit me, because if we want to stand for God, we can't have things above God. There can't be anything above obeying God. And if we want to keep standing on God's word, we have to continue to read his word daily. Because even if you stop reading the word, the devil is not going to stop putting thoughts in the world for us to hear, whether it's by the radio or the TV, or you go to work and people are talking to you about crap or whatever. The devil's not going to stop. That's why we have to continually choose to put on God's word, so that we have it in our minds, and to put off the things of the world. So that really, really blessed me, and that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Amy Joke, and I'm 13, and this is my first year. And I was really blessed because Tom let me go this year, because I'm only 13 and I was supposed to be 14. But I have so much to. I used to be like a big mouth and blab everything to everybody. But now I learned that I should keep sometimes things to me and God, and not go tell everybody, because sometimes people don't need to know everything. And I just love him so much, and he loves me, and I learned to love other people for who they are and not how they act and how they dress and stuff. And I just love everybody more often than I do now. I just really got blessed, and that's what I have to say because I'm so nervous.
Hi, my name is Amanda Greatham, and I'm 14 years old, and this was just a really big week for me, because this is my second year at teen camp, but I got the privilege of being a fellowship leader, and I was chosen by God to take care of five people for a week. And when I first got the call from Tom to do that, it just didn't really hit me at first how big that is. I mean, ultimately, God was taking care of those people, but for that week, I had time every day with them, and I had a choice to either do it according to what God wanted me to do, or put on the Amanda Show. So I chose to do what God wanted me to do, and every afternoon I took time in the Word, and I prayed, and I asked God what he wanted me to do with my fellowship. And when the week ended, everyone was so blessed, but when I talked to those five kids, they were so blessed, and I'm just so thankful that it's been made available for us to walk with God and to ask him what needs to be done, because on our own, we don't know what people need. We don't know what's in their heart. I mean, you may think you know what's going on with the person that's sitting next to you right now, but maybe there's something completely different on their heart right now, and maybe they have a huge need that you don't know about. But if you're walking with God, maybe there's something you can do for them that that just really blesses me that we can do that. And another thing that really hit me this week is distractions in the world. I know I'm going to go back to school this year, and I'll see everyone that I probably haven't seen since the end of May, and yeah, it'll be all nice and everything, but
You have to keep your head on straight, and you've got to keep your head in the Word, too, all the time, because you may not see it coming, but the adversary is out there, and he's going to do everything in his power to get your mind out of the Word and to keep you from holding tight in that body of Christ and from protecting everyone else. And it talks in the Word about taking care of everyone else and putting your brothers and sisters in Christ above yourself, and just everything blessed me this week. I'm thankful for every one of you, even if you didn't go to teen camp, the majority of you. I love you all very much. God bless.
I'm Akash, and I'm 14 years old, and this was my second year at the week to grow in God's Word, I guess you could say. The thing that was really on my heart this week was that I really let God's Word speak for itself, because I'm so used to just reading what it says and just doing my own interpretation or doing what somebody else thinks it says, and, oh, well, I respect them, so they must be right, you know, but really half the stuff in here is just, you know, man's translation, or, you know, some people even threw some verses in here that have nothing to do with the section it's even in. I mean, and you really got to think what you're reading, and you really got to think, what did God breathe? God breathed all of this, and if you're reading it, sometimes you can just believe what it says, and it can be dead wrong, and that wasn't what God intended for you to believe. And I really been, this whole week, I was just studying, and I'm like, I'm going to find out what God has to say and not what I think it should say. And one thing that I just wanted to share with you was a study that I did that really blessed me, and it explained so much involving relationships with people. And it all starts with Adam and Eve. In chapter 2 of Genesis, it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And Amanda and I did this study together, and man, it was so awesome. This word ashamed means confusion or with shame. And Adam and God had designed man and woman to not have to have a relationship where there was no confusion and where they had nothing to hide from each other. I mean, they were naked. They weren't like this, you know. They were right open, and they were not. There was no confusion. And the main thing was is that they both had spirit, and that's the reason there was no confusion. It's because they had God in them, and they were able to have that relationship. But then you read on, and right after the fall, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." So when they lost spirit, guess what happened? Confusion, shamefulness. Oh my God, I'm naked. You know, they weren't like that before. So, and that explains a lot to me, because if I'm at school and I try to have a relationship with someone without the Spirit of God, well, why is there so much confusion? Why is it not working? I should be able to have a relationship with someone. Wrong. The Word God does not say that, you know, and it's the reason it doesn't work is because they don't have spirit. And it's both people have to have spirit for a relationship to not be confusing and to not have shame. And that really, really hit me pretty hard. And just doing that study really opened me up to doing a lot more studies and a lot more of what God has intended us to do and what God initiated, and not what man made up and we should just follow along with it just because, I don't know why, we shouldn't. So really, I really am blessed, and I was so thankful for Tom for spending time with me in that study. I'm really blessed to see you all this morning, and you guys are so wonderful. Thank you.
My name's Brennan Burke. I'm 14, and it's my second year at teen camp. This year, I Towards the beginning of the week, I kind of got lazy. I went and during the breaks or whatever, I went to play cards or I just hung out and talked about crap, because when there's so many people there that are loving you, you think that it's all right just to hear the teachings and then go do whatever, because I don't know, it's really easy to get lazy there because everyone's loving you and nobody's saying, well, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. And then when we started doing our Temeres, it was the second day, I think, second or third day, I memorized 1 Peter 5:8, and it was, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And really, even when you're at a place like teen camp where the body of Christ is living and everybody is loving you, the devil can still get at you, and he can still convince you that it's all right to not worry about going and studying the Word during the breaks, but just having a good time playing cards or just sitting and talking or whatever. The only thing that we really have to fight the devil with, it talks about in Ephesians, is the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God. And we learned a lot about that this week. And the only way that the devil's not going to get at us and cause division or cause us to stop living God's Word is by us not knowing God's Word to fight it with. I guess that's all I have to say.
Hi, I'm Rachel Schicks, and this is my fourth year at teen camp, and you know, every year that I come back from teen camp, like, right after, I'd be like, woohoo, God is awesome, you know, like, rock on teen camp, but, like, you know, and then last year, you know, I'd go back to school, and I'd just be, like, disgusted by what I saw, like, this is crap, but then, you know, eventually, I see myself just getting more and more into the ways of the world, and just, like, not, just, like, little by little, and then, you know, I just did not want that to happen this year, and, like, I was so blessed with the topic when I found it out. I'm like, we're going to find out how just to stay on the Word. And, lost my train of thought. Well, the devil would always I always let him find just a little place to get in my life. Like we learned in the teaching, just like a small place just to get in my life. And then that way he can just get more and more and just, you know, take more and more from me as I let him. And, you know, I'd be thinking, like, oh, the devil's so hard on me. But it's because I let him. You know, the devil is walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's not like, oh, Christina's a nice girl. Maybe I'll lay off a little on her. And, like, oh, he doesn't care. As long as he has a way just to hinder the things of God, he's going to try and do that, you know? And, you know, and then I came, like, the week started to end, and I was just getting, like, kind of nervous to come back because I did not want to get in the, like, I didn't want to get back into the ways of the world again. I really don't want to do that this year. And I was thinking, like, how am I going to do this? But, you know, first of all, we have God. He's just going to, like, as we continue to go to him, he's always going to be there for us. And then we have the body of Christ, which is perfect. And we're all fighting the exact same fight. And if we all help each other, then we're going to be able to stand. And, like, I need all you guys. I can't just do this by myself. I mean, I need you guys to pray for me. And you guys need all of us to pray for each other, you know? It's not just, I'm fighting the devil and you're fighting the devil. We're all fighting him together. And also, when I went to teen camp this year, I really just wanted to see God work bigger. I was like, yeah, you know, I wanted to hear from God. I wanted to hear revelation. But, you know, first thing I did, you know, I just started getting into the Word. And that's when I saw God work more. You know, it's so essential just to go to the Word. I just got so blessed by going to the Word more and more and just seeing God work more and more. And, you know, I don't want to lose that this year. I want to just be staying good to God. And I just want to continue to have this desire. So, you know, I need you guys all to pray for me, and I'll pray for all you guys too. It'll work out. So, you know, I just love you all, guys. And God bless.
I didn't tell you beforehand, but you're probably figuring out the topic was dealing with the adversary. In case you have, like if you're new to the fellowship, I realize you might be sitting here, all these guys talk about the devil. That was the topic of the week, okay, just to clarify things. And yet, as I'm sure you're seeing, it's not a negative topic at all. In fact, our object and the whole primary thrust of this entire ministry is teaching people how to walk with God, how to stand upon His Word. And part of that is realizing that evil is a directed force and that there is an adversary who would endeavor to distract us from that or push us off it or any way he can get us off of it. And so dealing with him is part of walking with God. And you're seeing some great examples of that here. So sorry to interrupt you, Becca, but God bless.
My name is Becca Thompson. I'm 16. And like Tom just said, the topic was dealing with the adversary. And I was very blessed that we covered that because just that's the one thing that I think I kind of been forgetting. Like, I come back from teen camp in past years and I would try and stand on the word, but I'd always fall and I'm like, what's wrong with me? You know, am I not a good enough Christian? Am I not righteous? You know, why can't I do this? And I'd forget that there was something opposing me, that there was something that was trying to make me go like that. And if my eyes aren't open to that, it's not me, but it's the adversary that's doing it, that, you know, I'm not going to be able to stand. And that's why I was just very thankful that I learned, they have my eyes open, that it's the adversary trying to bring me down, trying to, Tom did a cool illustration. We had a couple of twins, and he had one sitting on a table, another one on the floor, and he had the one on the table tried to pull the other one up, and he couldn't do it because it's harder to bring people up to where you are, but the one on the floor could just pull one down so easily because it's so easily, just easy to be pulled down, and it's so much harder to maintain the standard that, you know, we can be at. And it was kind of interesting because I noticed at the beginning of the week it was all like, you know, the adversary, the adversary, the adversary. And then kind of Tom and Jeff, their focus switched towards the body of Christ near the end of the week, which was cool because, you know, what's it worth knowing there's a devil if we're not all together to stand against them? And that just really blessed me, learning more about the body of Christ. And the other thing I also learned was a lot about leadership and about how God takes care of your needs, because I got to be a fellowship leader and I just wanted to take care of those kids. I wanted to do everything possible. And when I did everything I could for them, I didn't look upon myself, all my needs got taken care of. I didn't have to worry about it. And, I mean, one day I kind of got tricked into thinking I needed to take care of myself. And that day I was all just like confused and nothing was going right. I'm like, why? It's because I was putting myself before people. And as soon as I put everyone else before me, everything got taken care of and everything was more just better. And the last thing I really learned was why I was doing things, why I was being a fellowship leader. I guess, you know, in a lot of the earlier years, I would be like, oh, you know, I hope I do it good enough so Tom doesn't get mad at me, you know, I hope. It's like that, but it's not. It's for God. The reason I'm doing it is so God gets glorified. It's what God wants for these kids. I mean, you know, what if, I guess this just first kind of occurred to me, what if Tom was dead wrong? What if he wasn't right about something? It's, you have to be so sober, you have to be so vigilant and just knowing that I'm doing things for God. I mean, you know, obviously he's going to be giving me standards that are good and that I need to take to the word and be like, you're right, you know, these are things I need to be doing, but ultimately it's God gets glorified. And just, I don't know, it cleared a lot of things up. You know, why am I in the body of Christ? You know, it's maybe that day, like, everyone else's head is out the window, but mine's not. It's not, well, you know, I can be carnal because they're carnal. It's, no, it's God wants the body of Christ and I need to bring everyone back, and then they can bring me back when they need to. And it's just all for God. I guess that's the one thing I really, really learned this week. So, thank you.
My name is Randy Mullins, and this was my sixth year at teen camp. And this year I had the blessing and the privilege to be a fellowship leader. And I just got so reminded of my own first year at teen camp, how I went from hearing about a God every Sunday morning to knowing my Heavenly Father. And I got to see in the lives of those guys in my fellowship how they just tore the walls down that they'd built up against the world and really decided to make a stand for God in their own lives. And it was just such a blessing to be a part of that. And the main thing that really blessed me this week that I really saw was the power of God's Word. How when you put God's Word in a situation, that's when that situation changes. You know, that's when things start happening. That's when the adversary starts trying to get in there and take it away, because that's where the power is, you know. by God's word, God made the heavens and the earth. By God's word, he changed all of our lives. It wasn't anything special at the camp, you know. It wasn't the amazing food that the staff made for us. Wasn't the water. Wasn't the trees. It wasn't the nice scenery. It was the word of God. We came into that week out of the world, but once that first teaching happened, right after that teaching, it was alive, you know. That word of God was living, and it is powerful. And, you know, it's the same word of God that's sitting in front of you on the tables. It's that same word of God that I want to hold fast in my life and keep in my heart for the rest of my life. So, thank you all for all your support and loving me so much. God bless.
My name is Nate Donahue. This is my third year at teen camp, and it really opened up a lot to me to know that there is a way we can deal with the adversary, because he's getting at you at every time. And the teen camp is a week to grow and expand, but that's not it. Like, once we get out, we still have to build on God's word to keep it in our hearts, or else the devil will come at us, and it won't be direct, it'll be subtle. It's like, oh, this, I know this CD is bad, but I have God's word, and it won't hurt me. It's like, what about a bottle of arsenic? If you were to drink that, oh, I know God's going to take care of me, it'll still hurt you. And, well, we have a way to deal with the devil and to see the things that he's getting at us, so we can know that we can stay away from those things that'll try to hurt us or eat at our believing, to break it down and to take us into unbelief. And, well, Jeff and Tom did a great job teaching about all the things we can do and the signs of what the devil is trying to get at us and take the word away from us. And it's really a great blessing to have someone to just warn you those things and to tell you about what's happening. And, well, that's what really blessed me. That's all.
Hi, my name is Andrew Parkhurst, and I am 17. This year at teen camp, I was blessed a ton. And I'm going to be a senior next year in high school. And I was going through the whole pressures of, oh, where am I going to go to college, and what am I going to do with my life? And, you know, everything that I have to decide. And what really was opened up to me just hit me, you know, in my heart, that there's been something missing from my life. I have to put God first and everything else second. I can't say, oh, well, I'll go to college, you know, and all that, and then, you know, I'll study the Word of God too, and everything will be all right. No. Go to God first. And it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." See, we don't have to worry about this world. We don't have to worry about anything that happens here. Just put God first in our lives. And it says right there that, you know, even though those things don't matter, you know, they'll be added unto you because God loves you. And, you know, put God first in your life. How long do we have to live on this earth? What, 60, 80 years, what, the tops? What do we have to gain from this world? You know, if we messed up every single day for the rest of our lives, you know what, God still loves us, and we're going to spend eternity with him. It calls this time on earth, you know, our light affliction. It really doesn't matter. We have to remember just how great that is. And also, you know, Hannah Burke was my fellowship leader, and she really blessed me a lot. She shared with me, you know, what I just shared with you, and it just opened up my heart so much, and it blessed me so much. And, you know, I had that new fire for, you know, that new desire for God and his word. And the next day, I had the chance to, you know, talk with, like, this small group of 13, 14-year-old boys. And, you know, I started talking to them about what blessed me and everything like that. And then, like, that night, I got to share with them some word of God. We just sat down and started talking about it. And it really blessed them, you know, just to talk about the word of God. And, you know, it was God. It was God working in me. And I fulfilled my part in the body of Christ. And I got to bless them. And just like I had been blessed the previous day. And then the next day, when I was weak or when I needed help, you know, there was another member of the body of Christ right there to edify me, to build me up spiritually, right there for me. I mean, the word of God is great. I mean, taught, you know, divided rightly, everything's great. But there's something much more about the word of God. It's not in word only, but in power. You know, it's so powerful. And when we're walking on that word of God, it just means so much. It helps everyone in the body of Christ. And that's why he gave it to us. And I was really blessed by this week. Thank you. God bless.
Oh, hi. I'm Amanda Nelson. I'm 16. This is my first year at teen camp. Thanks to Rachel. She used to tell me about how much fun she had at it, and I finally got to come this year. And I realized how much fun it was. And it wasn't just fun. You learn so much from everyone that you meet. I went in knowing like three people, and I went to the dorm. I was assigned to a dorm. I didn't know anyone. I was worried that I wouldn't know anyone and everyone would be mean, but I was totally wrong. Everyone showed me how much love you can give. And I learned that you have to be loving to everyone. And if you walk in love, then you can teach people so many things. And I learned that you have to live like a Christian. You can't just say you are one, because that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to live and He wants us to show what it is to be like Christ. And you have to bring other people to God. And you can't do that by just saying you're a Christian and living not like you are. And the devil will try everything he can to get to you. And you have to try the hardest that you can to block him. And don't let him tempt you. Well, you'll be tempted, but you have, right when he tempts you, you have to look at the word and see what you can do to not be tempted anymore. And just remember that God's always on your side. And you'll have so many brothers and sisters in Christ to help you. You can just go to talk to any one of them, and they'll help you and help you remember that you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
I'm Casey McCall, and this is my fourth year at teen camp. I think one thing that really hit me hard was that when God created Adam, he was created with spirit. And so, okay, I randomly decided to come up and talk, so I haven't really. Okay, I really learned about five senses and how we should never make decisions by our five senses. It should be by spirit. That's how we remain. And a lot of times in my life, I'll be, you know, doing my thing, and I'll be like, oh, maybe I should go to God. Okay, so I go to God, I pray, and I wait for him to answer, and I still have these feelings like, oh, you feel this way, you feel this way, and if God tells you this, then you still feel this way. And it's not about your feelings, it's not about your five senses, it's about what God says, and we should always be making decisions spiritually, because that's, you know, and we always wonder, oh, why am I feeling, you know, your feelings can go, because, you know, when Christ comes back, I don't know how to explain it. But another thing that really blessed me was to see all my brothers and sisters in Christ really having a desire to go to God and learn. Like, it wasn't just me going to God and wanting to have a relationship with God. It was, like, all of you guys. And it blesses me for you guys to get up here and share, like, God did this, God did this. Because it just really, the body of Christ is just really working now. And I just really learned about the adversary, and I just learned how to resist him with the word of God, not by my feelings and not how whatever my five senses tell me, because the word of God is more real than anything we feel, touch, whatever, you know, like, ooh, the microphone's here, I can feel it, it's real, you know? The word of God is more real than that, and that's what I learned.
And serving the true God, not a bunch of kids. And in light of that, the kids are going to be abundantly taken care of. And I really learned that. I heard the words, and then I got to live it the rest of the week, which was really neat. And we don't fabricate opportunities to bless people. We allow God to provide those opportunities. And we don't seek lives to change. We seek to obey God. So that's what I learned this week. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Margie Mullins, and I don't have to tell you how old I am either. And this is my, I think it's my fifth year of teen camp. I really like it, obviously, because when the kids first come in, well, there's a lot of things why, but one of the things you learn, you see with the kids when they first come in, there's some kids that are real excited because they've been there before, and the other kids are wondering, what's this going to be like? But after a few teachings, all of them are so happy and blessed and putting on the word, and you can see how important it is to keep the word on in your life. That's what I wanted to share.
Well, that wasn't everybody, but any of you who were thinking, oh, sharing's today, no teaching, you were wrong, weren't you? Boy, plenty of teaching in God's Word there this morning. You know, and you got some of you adults, you can look at these teens and say, isn't that great? They can all, you know, be like one body, because they're teens, they're all the same. But, you know, when you get older, you get different, and that doesn't quite... You got amnesia? Do you remember when you were a teen? Okay, a couple of you are willing to admit that. Some of you can remember when you were a teen. There were all kinds of divisions set up, many more set up than are set up for you today. 13-year-olds didn't hang out with 14-year-olds, right? I mean, that's... You look at this group, and in the standards of the world, they have more reason to be divided than you do. And look at what we've heard out of their mouths all morning. Man, I'm so thankful. You know what really blessed me? Every year I think it can't get any better, but what's blessed me so much this morning with all these sharings is certainly people talked about what they learned rather than what they did. And, you know, you could always have good experiences, but they fade quick, don't they? But they also, the other thing that blessed me is very few even mentioned where they learned it. And you know, that's when the one body's starting to operate. Some of these guys learn these things from teaching. Some of them learn them from their fellowship leaders. Some of them learned them in the house of his healing presence while they were praying. Some of them heard a teaching, and I just made an offhanded suggestion. You might want to study this sometime. And they sat down and did it for 4 hours. Some of them learned it just from conversations. And that's the way the body of Christ works. I was so thrilled to hear that because there was so much learning here, so much in-depth learning of how to live spiritually. And the great thing that they all recognized is God taught me. You know, and if God taught you by way of you studying his word with all your Greek and Hebrew ability, it's still God taught you, right? If God taught you by the way of a brother or sister in Christ sitting down and telling you, still God taught you, right? And that's ultimately where all true learning of a spiritual nature comes from, and that these guys recognize this is a real tribute to them. I'm really proud of all of you, those who shared and those who didn't. It's been a joy working with you this week. You know, it's funny because Jeff Duclos and I, most of you know Jeff, he and I do this camp together, and this is the first year we looked at each other and realized we're not going to be doing this forever. I'm years old, and you know, this is the first year I realized, okay, now this, we put in a little over a week of, you know, outside bathrooms, you know, beds that make your hips hurt, you know, sweating, stinking, which is all fun when you're 16, you know, but it's the first time we've looked at each other and said, well, you know, there's going to be an end to this. And it's been so much a part of our lives for so many years now, and yet I look at this group here, and it's not going to miss a beat. You know, when some of us guys are too old and decrepit to handle the latrines, you guys will be ready to do this. You'll be ready to teach it. You'll be ready to run it. You'll be ready to walk with God and make the decisions necessary. And hopefully God will have something else for us to do a little more comfortable. But, you know, everybody in this camp is so vital. to thank, we just got to thank God, because it's not just the teachers or the staff or the fellowship leaders or the dorm stewards. There's just so much that goes on because of the mutual expectation that's built and the reverence for the word that's built. And you got a little taste of that today. I really encourage you, if you're a fellowship leader, get these guys to share more in depth at your fellowship. It'll blow your mind. But I am going to single one person out this morning, because there's one individual who's really, in many ways, the heart and soul of our teen camp. And not only could we not do it without her, but she's an example of any of you there who would like to be true biblical Christian servants. You can't do much better than this one as far as an example, because Christian service in this context especially, where, you know, as the team shared with you, we changed plans all the time. We our whole camp changed Tuesday night. Jeff and I sat down and changed everything for the rest of the week. And to be able to walk with that kind of freedom spiritually, you've got to have people who certainly, you know, love God and walk with God. But you've also got to have people that love you and are willing to walk with you and are meek enough to, at times, jump when you say jump and not say, well, God didn't tell me to jump, because there's too much at stake. It's too vital. Things are happening so fast. And the way the body of Christ works, he may not tell you. But if he tells the individual who's responsible, then you jump. But few are willing to do that, at least as high as this woman is. And to work together that closely, you've got to have someone who you trust implicitly and who trusts you implicitly, on top of all the great qualities of the Word of God that she exhibits in her life. And so I asked her to share a little bit more in depth this morning to close out our Sunday fellowship. So welcome with me, if you would, Laura Tucci.
I'm just dressed up, and I have makeup on. So I was thinking you won't recognize who we are. And another message is Dave King and Luke Hill, I'm still out to get you. That's a private joke. You can ask them later. Turning your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. This morning I thought of 1,000 things that I can speak about, that I can tell you about, but the only thing that Tom just said, it's not what we did, it's what we learned. And that goes for the staff, too. I'm just totally amazed that I'm even allowed to be there. I really am. You have no idea. I've been in the Word a long time, and I didn't go in the Way Corps, and I didn't do all those great things that y'all got to do. But I get to do this. And every day when I walk across the lawn to the kitchen, I cry because I'm allowed to be there. So thanks. So let's get into the Word. 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 8, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." Now, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour, not tickle, not distract you for a little bit. He's devouring. He wants to devour. He's walking around looking who he may devour. The most powerful weapon that you have against that adversary is the Word of God. We learn this wonderful thing in Ephesians 6 that we all know. We've all been there before. But in Ephesians chapter 6, the most powerful weapon that you will have against that roaring lion, against that devil who wants to take you out, doesn't just want to tickle you and play with you for a little while. He wants to take you out. He wants to devour you. The most powerful weapon that you have is the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's your sword. That's your sword. If I was saying, okay, we're going to go to war, but I'm not going to give you any guns, how well equipped would you be? Would you even think of sending our troops to Afghanistan without a gun or a bomb in their pocket? You know, what makes you think that you can live in this world without some kind of, without the Word of God as your sword? If my sons went out to play football and the coach told them, you're not wearing pads today, no helmet for you, they're going to get beat up. Well, you're walking in the devil's realm, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness on high. Well, are we going to fight those things with the senses? No. We fight them with things from the Spirit and the Word of God. We learn, one of the things we learned, too, was that we need to put on the right stuff and put off the wrong stuff. Look in 2 Timothy 2:15. Is this ringing any bells for you guys? I hope so. That was tempting. We learned once again about sheep and how they nibble away slowly but surely. You know, I've been to Israel and I've seen what the sheep running the land has done to that land. It took a lot of vegetation out, because year after year, and I guess in the 1800s, they let sheep roam and they nibbled away at all the grass, and it's just rocks. It's all rocks. That's what it did. It's a barren wasteland, a lot of it is, and they've recovered a lot of it, but not very much. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. You know, cankers or cancer or gangrene, or it doesn't kill you right away, but it takes its time. You don't just go to the doctor and he goes, oh, you have cancer and you're dead in an hour. But, or gangrene. A lot of times people don't even know they have gangrene until your foot's off. You know, and that's what word is used here, but shun profane and vain babblings. You know, they eat as doth a canker. Instead, study the Word. Study the Word. That's your sword. That's your weapon. Why do you want to enter a spiritual battle, which you are in whether you like it or not, if you're born again, without a weapon, without the Word of God? Look in Romans chapter 12. You know, it's interesting, too, here in 2 Timothy, how shunning profane and vain babblings increase into more ungodliness. So who's it hurting in the long run? Who's it hurting? You. Romans chapter 12. You know, the adversary wants to take you out. He wants the word out of your heart, out of your life, out of your mind, and he tries every day. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, that's the right stuff. That's the right stuff. And one of the interesting things is just about anything in the world is the wrong stuff. It's not, you know, I don't have to go through and explain to you, no, that's wrong, that's right, that's wrong, that's right. Well, does it line up with the word? No, it's wrong. It's wrong. Look in 1 John. Chapter 5. The adversary will have a constant stream of thoughts for you to think about. We learned that too this week, didn't we? That there is always an endless supply of thoughts or feelings or things to do that will distract you from the word. Endless supply. Chapter 5 in 1 John. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that begat him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our believing. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that? You know? Well, then you overcome the world. 1 John 4:4, we've heard before this morning, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, one of the funniest things I heard this week was Jeff Duclos saying that You know, the Bible's full of people messing up and God pulling them back. Because, you know, think about it. If it wasn't, it would be 6 pages long, and we'd say, turn to page 6 in the pamphlet of the Word of God. You know, why do you just jump down your throat about every time we mess up? We're going to mess up, but we still have more power than the devil. We still have more power. We have Holy Spirit within us. If you're born of God, you have power. You have the Word of God. Pretty cool stuff. Turn to John 10:10. You know, do you think you learned to walk the first time you tried? I'm sure we've all heard this illustration before. You fell, you got up. You fell, you got up. Same way with walking with God. We fall, we get up. It's not required in a man that he be found penitent. It's required in a man that he be found faithful. And all of you guys, well, a servant, all you guys, I hear your hearts. I've seen how you walk. I see the adults. We want to serve God. We want to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want to walk with Him, but we mess up. So are you going to walk in shame and penance the rest of, for 3 months? Why do you want to hand over the rest of your life to the adversary because you screwed up a few times? God doesn't, He wants you to, you know, faithful. That's what He talks about. You know that verse in 1 Corinthians 4. You know, it's required that a man be found faithful. You know, maybe we screwed up a little with our kids, even raising our kids' parents. I don't know. It sure doesn't seem like it when you look at these guys. But so you're going to give up the rest of your life? You're going to hand over the rest of the day to the adversary? You know, I go to school. The first thing in homeroom, some kid, I agree with him about some rotten thing in the world. Am I going to give the rest of the day over to the devil? No. What did we learn? Put the Word on. So you mess up. Put the Word on. Why do you want the, that's how He's going to pull you away. Little by little by little. But don't give up. Just stay faithful. It's okay. One of the things we learn, you know, is anything in your life more important than God? And if it is, you need to think about that. You know, is your job more important than God? Is school more important than your job, you know, than God? Is being a cheerleader more important than God? Is being successful, is that more important to God? Are you putting more time in your life, in your thoughts, where we work, where the adversary's battleground is? Is that where most of your thoughts are? If it is, you got to reevaluate. You got to take a checkup from the neck up. You know, if it does, sit back and get back, keep your head back in the Word. You're right where the adversary wants you if those things are more important to God, to you than God. And it's never too late, people. It's just never too late. Oh, boy, it's never too late. You know, I know that from experience. It's not too late. John 10:10. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The devil wants to kill. He wants to steal. He wants to destroy. He can't destroy you anymore if you're born again, right? But he can steal and he can kill. You know, who stops? You know, he wants people dead forever. He doesn't want you to speak the Word. He doesn't want you to speak, you know, let alone live abundantly, you that are already born again. But he doesn't want any of those other people who aren't born again to get born again. He wants them destroyed to have eternal death. This is a serious fight we're in. This is a serious spiritual battle. We are rescuing people by the Word of reconciliation from eternal death. You know, it might seem momentary right now to us, but it's an eternity. We're dealing with eternity. And if we don't speak, if we miss out on those chances, the adversary has won, and he's gotten a chance to kill, steal, and destroy. And you know, speaking the Word to your brothers in Christ, to your family, to your kids, to your mom and dad. Now, we listen, believe it or not. I thought it was funny when a lot of kids who you know have been raised in the Word, they'll go, I never knew that. And you go, you know, if mom's standing around, they're going, I taught him that stuff. So, but that's okay. Because maybe they weren't listening. It's all right. As long as you spoke it. Don't be fooled, parents, into thinking that you don't need to speak the Word to your kids. Because they don't learn it by osmosis. The only way they're going to learn it is not from school. It's not from their friends. It's not hanging around the corner. It's from you. So speak up. Speak the word. And kids, speak the word to your parents. We're in this together. Now, are you going to let a little fear stop you from pulling somebody from eternal death? Are you going to put a little fear stop you from saving your brother or sister from living a lifetime for the devil the rest of his life? A little bit of fear because you might not look good? Or speaking the word to a kid like we learned who's a little ugly, you don't want to talk to them? What right do you have to decide who gets to hear the word? Remember, Jeff told us that we just keep speaking, man. You know, we just keep speaking. And if God says stop, then we stop. So many times as adults, we get to the point where we're so religious that all of a sudden we think that we know exactly what to do. Well, I didn't talk to that person because I really knew that they wouldn't listen. You know, I just wasn't going to be profitable. Boy, haven't we heard that out of our mouths like 1,000 times? Yeah, no. The Word of God just says, just speak it. Just go. Go with it, man. If God doesn't want that, you know, if he tells you to stop, then you stop. And I'll tell you, it's not very often, is it? Is it adults who've been around for a while? Not very often. You know, it's interesting because I just heard a story about somebody who robbed somebody from the post office, and all the citizens banded together and found the person who, you know, the license plate number of the person who stole stamps, and oh, American heroes, and all these things. Well, you know, and we really get real crazy when people don't stand up for each other in the world. You know, it's like, oh boy. We just poo-poo it when a fellow citizen doesn't help another one. And we do, but we're ready to accept any excuse when we don't speak up for God. We're ready to accept any excuse at a lunch table, in the cafeteria, when everybody's talking crap, and we didn't speak up. But, you know, as an American, it's a whole different story. Well, what's more important? You know, why are we pulled into that stuff? You know, what hurts more? You know, maybe you might not look good when you're at the dinner table with all your friends, or your lunch table, all your friends, they start laughing at you. But, you know, does that hurt more than eternal death? You know, by you not speaking, or even if you spoke and you might look a little bit bad, and you might get scarred in school for 3 years, people will label you as a Christian. Does that hurt more, or does the eternal death that you could have spoken life to someone, does that hurt more? Now, what's your priority here? Are we in a spiritual battle or not? Now, the only reason we don't walk in the Spirit and use the Word of God as our sword is because we don't believe this. We don't believe for real that we are in a spiritual battle. Look in Ephesians 4. I'm going to end there. And if you think that we're going to be walking around and, you know, these teams now, it's like, you're doing that wrong. No, they learn love. You know, they want to walk in love. They know that love is what heals, what moves people to walk in love. And it was great because one night, I don't remember who it was that shared, but that was like, it's not a horrible thing to walk with God. It's a loving, it's tender, it's wonderful. It's just because you're walking with the sword of the Spirit doesn't mean you're a mean SOB. You're a loving, wonderful person. Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Is that a horrible thing? That's a great thing. I want to be there. I don't want to be out in the world. I don't want that stuff. All you got to do is spend 10 minutes in it, and you go, oh, that hurts. But lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of confusion. No, peace! There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So once again, I just want to say thanks, everybody. I love you kids a lot. I love you a whole lot. And I work at camp because I want to see the Word of God live. I'm thankful to be able to do that.